Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breezes that blow.
What's up? What's up, everybody? And welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. It is Todd Babarowicz, your host, and glad to be here with everybody. I hope everybody had a great weekend. Always exciting to get to the weekends. Of course, for me, I don't have a weekend. I just work all the time anyways, but it's always great, and I'm glad that you had some time to spend with me today. And, you know, as we look back at the action from last week, you know, what did we see? What were some of the important things that we saw from the week? And I think, well, I think there's a bunch of stuff that we would consider kind of important. One being the way the markets traded. You know, we had crappy volume on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. And we had huge volume on Wednesday. Wednesday was the only down day of the week. It seems like something fishy going on there. In the meantime, as I continue to say, the markets are looking and searching for a reason to go lower. There is no reason to suspect that it will be economic data. In fact, I would be willing to bet that it will not be economic data related, because at the end of the day, we have crappy data and we still don't go down. And you have a setup that margin debt is at record highs, and yet, you know, we continue to float higher. And buyers seem to come in at every turn. But I think one of the things that are interesting and one of the things you want to look at is how far we go up from that Wednesday decline. Now, we've got, you know, a couple hundred points to get back to where we were. And if we don't get there, that would show us that there was another lower high, which would indicate that the selling is probably going to accelerate. And that is something to look for. Now, again, it will not happen overnight, and it's not your objective or your job to try to pick the absolute top of the market. What your job is to see what the footprint's going to bring us on the subsequent rally. If this rally fails, that would indicate to us that we are going to see lower prices and the selling has begun. But remember, in markets that are selling, getting ready to break, or in breaking markets, you do have these vicious, nasty rallies that continue to fly in your face and make you second guess the footprint that you're reading. That is the interesting part of markets, is how they continue to let you see the differences of things that are happening in markets. And when you do that, you then find out that, hey, maybe it's not something that I have to worry about. Maybe I don't have to get out, or maybe I don't want to do something. Maybe I need to understand the market footprint. And of course, that is exactly what it's about, is you have to understand the footprint that the market is putting in, because that footprint will guide you. So don't get caught up in the big moves up or the big moves down, but more get caught up with the footprint that the market leaves, that then allows you a better view of what to do next. And I think that is something that we miss, because we get too caught up with news, we get too caught up with other things. And as you know, old Bubba here says, screw the news, it don't mean anything. And besides the fact that most of the people reporting it are not reporting it correctly anyways, they're reporting it with a slant or a side. Whereas you can look and read the market footprint without the help of anybody telling you what the news is. You know, one of the things I pride myself at is being able to say that something's going on because I can see it happening in the market, because the market is the number one barometer that will help you see things happening. Why? Because money flow. Now, we've noticed that nobody cares about what's going on in the world, because the markets continue to go higher. Now, again, we're not saying that they shouldn't go higher, although I don't believe they should at this point. I think they're well overdone, but that's besides the point. I think the bigger thing is what we're seeing is that money is still chasing the markets up, and you still have a lot of people trying to chase money into the market. And until that stops, you know, you're going to have that continue to happen. The dip buyers are going to come in every time the markets go down. And that's what we've seen for a number of years. And I'm not telling you that that is over today, because we don't know that it's, when it's going to be over, but we can certainly be able to tell by the market footprint. That is something that is very real and very important to understand, is that particular footprint that the market will leave for you, because it will give you the best value and identity of what will happen next. And this is something that you have to make sure that you are cognizant of, so that you can put yourself in the best position and not always finding yourself chasing around the markets. I think one of the things you look at with a great deal of importance is a lot of the manipulation that's going on. Because, you know, we do know that a lot of this market rally has been, you know, fueled by the Federal Reserve. And again, I'm not saying good or bad, although I don't like them, but I am just saying that that's a fact. And now we're seeing, again, some more manipulation in the price of oil. And not that it can't go higher. Again, that's what, this is where we come to it. But you have, you know, OPEC and everybody else trying to manipulate the price of oil instead of letting the free markets take care of it. Now think about that for a minute. All right. How many people are out there are manipulating price on things that don't let the free markets trade? And I don't understand why we care about what OPEC is doing when we have our own oil here. We have our own supply in the United States or in North America. There's enough oil to last 100 lifetimes now. And that goes without even affecting the environment oil. This is oil that's easily gotten. All right, and you would hope that we would figure out an alternative way. If everybody is so concerned about the environment, then you would think in the next 200 years, we'd be able to figure out a better way to run cars. And of course, we probably won't even have cars then. But I mean, you know what I'm saying? It would make more sense to think that we wouldn't need oil. So where are they pumping it up? And how do they think it's going to continue to go? And I think this is the big issue. Is that we have too much trying to manipulate supply, demand. And, of course, we don't have that problem. And what you're seeing is every time the futures get pushed up, the frackers come in and sell more. We see higher rig counts, okay, which means they're going to continue to pump. I mean, they're not going to stop, because the crooks at OPEC, and I say crooks, I mean crooks, I mean, they're about as phony as can be. I mean, they got your hand in the hand in one of your pockets and trying to grab your wallet in the other pocket, and they've got no regard. Listen, they can't stand themselves. How the hell are they going to take care of us? You know, they're a bunch of crooks that don't honor a deal anyways, and for years were able to hold the United States hostage with oil and of course create these shortages. So, you know, listen, oil is a commodity that there's so much of it throughout the world that it should not be anywhere near what it is. And certainly they can try to manipulate price, but I think they will once again fail. I think you're going to see a repeat of the action. And all I think you're going to see here is a lower high in oil, but on an oil that's on its way probably down to the 40 buck range or less. You know, remember, it's only 15 years ago or 16 years ago, we were trading at $9 oil. All right. And this has became artificial along with everything else. This is this reflation trade or whatever, trying to get all assets pumped up. It's a joke. Okay. It's a joke. That's the problem. And I think that is the bigger deal, is that all this is trying to be done with smoke and mirrors. And that's your Fed and your government at work trying to convince you with smoke and mirrors that you're doing better than you were the day before. But we'll be back later and talk about that. But right now, we're going to step out here for a break. Make sure you go to libertytalk.fm and download the Bubba Show every single day, as well as the Sporting Edge on the weekends. And, of course, Bubba's Bottom Line, available at bubbatrading.com. We're going to step out here for a break and come back with our guy, Matt Demeter, from DemeterResearch.com after the break. This is the Bubba Show. I am Todd Bubba Horowitz, and I'll be back after the break with Matt Demeter from Demeter Research. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz coming right back to you.
All right, boys, follow me.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with the Bubba Show expert, Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. What do you say, Matt? What's going on, my man?
I'm doing well. How about you, Todd?
Well, I mean, I could have done better if we didn't have that ridiculous bounce back last week. Yeah. And I'm not, I wrote to all my people on Wednesday night. I said, okay, here's the deal. If we open up much lower on Thursday, which we did, I said, you're going to see a rally. Okay, which is fine. I expected the first part of the rally, but I didn't expect it to I didn't expect him to kill the volatility in one day again. And I think that's more of the pain in the ass to me than anything is the way that they just they ran volatility up too far on Wednesday, but they just absolutely crushed it on Thursday and Friday. What did you see?
Yeah, no, I saw, you know, the exact same thing. I mean, you know, we had a 2-day spike in volatility, and then it totally got flattened again. So, I don't know. It's fine with me as far as like what I'm overall, you know, projecting. I think that, you know, the S&P was trying to eke out a slightly higher high. And as I was saying, I think 24, 22 is about as far as it should be able to stretch. And I think it might still be trying to do that. If it breaks that level, then I'm looking at, you know, 2,500 would be the next level up. I don't know. I don't think that's probably not going to happen. The only thing the only standout problem I'm seeing for being a bear is the NYSE composite. I have a very clear target that's 3 to 4% higher, right around 12,000 in the NYSE composite. So that's, you know, I think it's trying to be hit. I think that's what's happening here, and I think volatility is going to probably get crushed against, you know, I don't think it's done on the downside. I think we're going to make new all-time lows before this is ready to go.
Well, I would have thought we'd have made it last week, actually. I mean, yeah. I was not, again, I was not at all surprised, but I think one of the things, and this is not what you really do, but I think one of the things that we can see is the markets are certainly on edge and kind of waiting to get pushed one way or the other. But I mean, obviously, the minute there's any bit of news and not economic data, because nobody gives a rat about economic data, it doesn't mean anything. But like, you know, with the Trump Comey deal, all of a sudden, boom, the market sell off. And of course, that started happening Tuesday night. But from your technical, so you're thinking that there's a better chance that we're not going to rally again, and the sell off is going to take a little bit longer to get to us?
I think so. You know, if you look at the, you know, the weekly and monthly indicators for any of the indices, they're still, you know, they didn't get affected by that, you know, the drop we got. There are still nosebleed levels deep in the red. The daily indicators, though, were in the same condition going into the Tuesday, Wednesday sell off, and now those daily indicators have neutralized, so it allows for another push higher for the daily indicators to get overbought again. So that's kind of why I think that's probably what we're setting up for. If you look at the VIX options, you know, we were pretty skewed in favor of calls. The premiums were very skewed in favor of calls for VIX calls. So, you know, the market makers were definitely looking for higher VIX, and they got it just in time for these are Wednesday expirations. They got it just in time for the Wednesday expiration. I don't know if they were, you know, if we would have had this regardless of the news feed, I'm not sure. But they got what they wanted, which was to make sure that, you know, all the options, all the puts they sold were out of the money. And anyway, now looking at the premium skew as it is, it's closely balanced. I mean, it's not too far off. The calls are now more expensive again than the puts, meaning that they're now looking for higher volatility, but it's not as extreme as it was going into the, you know, the sell off.
Well, you know, I understand that. Yeah. And I expect volatility to make a new low. I've said that all along. I'm surprised. Yeah. Again, I'm surprised that it didn't. But I'm also surprised at the way that we continue to plow higher. And again, it's a technical thing, and of course the technicals have not really broken down yet. I mean, but I look at, for example, the Dow, and really I just see us rotating around the mean. I don't see, you know, you can take that big sell off. It didn't go anywhere. It didn't break anything to the downside, and we came back and rallied right back to that same. You know, I'd say 20,800 is about the mean in the Dow, and we just keep rotating around it on both sides of it. What do you think of that?
Yeah. I disagree with it. I mean, I don't see anything significant yet. I'm short the Russell 2000, and I'm short the Euro Stoxx 50. Those are the two that I've been sticking to on the short side for a while. Euro Stoxx 50 in particular, I think, peaked the day before the Friday before the French election, and I think Euro Stoxx 50 is done. Like it has no further
no further upside.
No further upside. Thank you. The rest of the U.S. market, I think, you know, we have here and there, we have some, you know, indices that want to go a little bit higher. But, you know, I'm still bearish. I would, you know, if I wasn't trying to eke out the last few points, I would be, you know, short all of them. But the only index I'm comfortable being short is Russell, just because it appears the cleanest.
Now, does it scare you that the Russell came down and basically, you know, I look at the Russell isn't a big trading range. You know, I know it got the 1425 as a high, but I look at it from like 1345 to like 1400 as a general consolidation pattern. And of course, we came right down to almost the bottom and have rallied off of that. Mm-hmm. And I could see that it could run back up to, you know, 1400 or 1390 again. Does that give you any concern, or is that not how you read it?
No, it gives me a little concern because, you know, if it appears to be a consolidation, then you could always break higher. But I'm okay with – I think about it. I chart IWM, the ETF, pretty closely, and it looks to me that the absolute highest that IWM could achieve is 144. And, you know, we're averaging in about 141. So, you know, it could go against us up to 144. Above that, it totally breaks out, and you initiate a whole new, you know, sort of bull market from that level. It could the next level up is much higher. So it concerns me a little bit, but I really do feel like it's limited to 144. That's worst case scenario.
No, I understand. And I'm just, you know, again, it is the weakest, and that's typically a sign. The problem is that usually the confirming factor that goes with the Russell would be the NASDAQ, and the NASDAQ is still sick and goes up. It shows no meaning of wanting to go down. And of course, it's really being driven by four or five stocks, but it doesn't matter why. The answer is that it's still going up. So it's hard to get in front of it, right?
Yeah, the NASDAQ's the one that I, you know, it just keeps plowing through resistance. It could still be topping out here. I think there's another level at 60, just below 6,500. I think that might be its target where it's trying to, peak out. But NASDAQ has the most relative strength. Russell has the most relative weakness. So that's why, you know, we would pick on the Russell.
No, I understand. Listen,
over the NASDAQ, yeah.
I mean, isn't it, you know, if you're looking to be short, you're not looking to short something that's strong. You're looking to sell into something that's already weak to begin with and try to sell resistance in something that's weak and let it push lower versus, you know, something that's strong. Why would you want to try to stop it? Correct?
That's absolutely correct. Yeah. Makes sense.
You know, I mean, stay long to strong. Sorry, go ahead.
But, you know, if, you know, we'll still try to, you know, sell, you know, the overall thing is we want to sell into strength, but yeah, the NASDAQ just has so much relative strength to the other indices. We're not touching it.
Yeah, I mean, again, like I said, I'm a little bit short the NASDAQ, but not a lot. I just think that, you know, obviously it was a very rewarding day on Wednesday. Unfortunately, you know, they punished you after that, but there's no reason to try to pick tops and bottom tops and markets, you know, when you have other things that relate to the same type of stuff that will bring it back down and you have a much higher chance of success. Correct?
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, the thing I think, you know, there's with the NASDAQ being so tech heavy and you have the, you know, those, you know, five or, you know, 10 big stocks that are pushing it higher. It's like March 2000. Those, you know, NASDAQ is what really ripped, you know, those last 3 months of those, you know, the first 3 months of 2000, you know, and, you know, we might get something like that again.
Oh, we'll get. We'll,
I think that's what we're seeing right now.
We'll get that again. There's no look at markets repeat. There's no question we're getting it again. And the only question is what's going to finally be the final nail that drives it. And we'll talk about more of that when we come back from the break. We are with Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com, the Bubba Show expert who's been en fuego, really picking a lot of good stuff in the markets for us, and each and every week brings us good information. This is the Bubba Show. Todd, Bubba Horowitz. Make sure you go to LibertyTalk.fm and download the show every day. We'll be back at the break with more from Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. The Bubba Show. Todd, Bubba Horowitz coming right back. What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialdini, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd, Bubba Horowitz with Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. And Matt, so I said, and I believe this, that markets repeat and the markets can do the same thing. They do them from different levels. But again, this is really rather ridiculous that the NASDAQ goes up every day, basically, and it's being driven by, look, I have nothing wrong with the companies that are driving it. I mean, but in the meantime, even a train has to stop at the station for a little while. And I think that you're going to see once again that they've trapped everybody in it at over leveraged levels. And you've got the retail trader at record margins. And at some point it's going to give way. But in the meantime, it is like a train just going straight over, running over everybody. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. I think it's getting, you know, a little bit bubbly in those stocks. They're getting overloved. If you look at their individual indicator patterns, they're all, you know, the RSIs, for example, are all, you know, very, very overbought. They can stay overbought, you know, for a while, but yeah, like Amazon and you know, Facebook and these guys, their RSIs are in the, you know, they're all above 70, at least. Some of them are in the 80s. So yeah, I wouldn't, you know, while I would, you know, I would only be long those stocks if I was also short, you know, something else as a hedge, because when it's getting bubbly is my point. Yeah.
When that bubble bursts, it's going to be so long, muchacho. You're going to get ripped. And that's why it's always tough. And especially if you're trying to trade momentum, I mean, you know, momentum goes until it doesn't. And all of a sudden, and if you've ever been a sports fan, you know, one little thing could change that momentum, and it could be down goes Frazier, if you remember the Howard Cosell call. But so what are you seeing, Matt, in the livestock markets, you know, cattle and hogs? You know, you've been a fan of cow, which is what you use to track. But we had an interesting week last week. They were basically the cattle was down, both the fats and feeders were both down. Ended up down for the week, but of course rallied towards the end of the week. And I know you liked them higher. What's your take here?
Well, we have like cow. We wanted to get back into it long, but it just hasn't pulled back enough yet for us to get into it. But that ETF is, you know, half cattle, half hogs. I think cattle's probably, you know, it's pulled back enough to neutralize the indicators. I think it's. I would prefer to see it fall further, and I think it probably will before getting long again. Hogs are starting to get overbought now. They were just going, you know, they've been going up for a while. So any pullback, we'd be looking to get long as a whole. But either one will take. The commercials are heavily short cattle in this case. I don't know if that really they really haven't. Been able to, they did push cattle down. So, I mean, they were successful with that, but, We'll see. Maybe they'll be able to push it down further. I think they probably will, and we'll be looking to get long.
Well, I mean, I think they go down. I think there's another 5 or 6% in cattle myself. I mean, I watch it, and you know, it got a little bit too crazy. And I think one of the things that happened in markets, and even with technical analysis, is that you get when they typically push way too far one way. Usually the spring back is way too far the other way, and then they find the equilibrium. I mean, it's been, that's what I've noticed over the years. When you look at the grains, I mean, basically corn and wheat look fairly solid. Wheat looks the best, as you have said for quite a while. And soybeans had a big dip and then popped off that 940 level, which was the level I've been watching, and kind of closed in the mid range again. What's your take of the grain space here?
It's pretty much the same as usual. I do think that wheat's still holding up, and soybeans, on the other hand, I think they formed a bear flag for the past say week and a half, 2 weeks, which they broke down from late last week. That's it's now going lower, and we'll see a major bottom. Like a bear market bottom sooner rather than later. I think it's coming probably in the next couple of months. And I think we'll be about, 10 to 15% lower that we'll get a chance to get long. And then, I'd be happy to get long the grain space, the grain complex. But I just have to wait on soybeans. Corn, I'm not so sure about what it's doing. It's just chopping sideways and it really hasn't hit my target low. So
no, I understand. I just think, you see things that happen. And of course, now we've got oil. Now, I've been bearish oil, and I said that I'm going to be a seller at 50. And of course, that's where we are now. And of course, part of that, at 50 is the rotation from June to July. You get picked up 50 cents just on the spread, but that's fine. I mean, I'm not making any excuses. I'm saying, okay, so I'm a seller here. Now, is this violated yours, and you're still looking for that 56 level, or are you in the bear park here as well?
I just moved over to the bear camp too. We breached my first target resistance, which in July was about 50.70, it was a rising target, so 50.80. There's another target up that gets up to about 55. We could still get to, and then there's a, much higher one all the way up, in the high 50s, like 59 to, 60. The daily indicators give room for it to do that. So we just started with, we're not directly short, but we're short, a call spread that's up a bit. So we have room for it for oil to continue higher and for it to not, not to harm us too much. But if it does go higher, I'm a seller.
Well, I want to be harmed because I'm short, and I'm sure it'll give me a little stick in the eye, as always happens. Well, again, you try to be prudent about it. And, we thought that 44 was a great level to jump in. That happened on Jobs Friday. And of course, it popped all the way up. And now, what are you seeing? The dollar had given quite a bit away on especially Friday. It looked like almost like a blow off to the downside. I assume you believe the dollar is still going lower, but probably should get a little bit of a pop here somewhere for a couple of days.
Could be. Yeah. I mean, the it's getting very oversold. The euro is getting very overbought. The target we have is still, in a 95s. It's high 95s now. It's a rising target. It's at about 95.80, and we're at about 97. So it's getting, it's getting a lot closer. So we could bounce here before we get, before we continue down towards that target. I'm still looking for the euro to get up to 114, and at 112, I mean, it fits. That's about 2% higher for the euro. It's about, roughly 2%, a little bit less than 2% lower for the dollar. So I'm still looking for those targets to be hit. And then I think we get our reversals in both, euro down and dollar up. So,
well, no, that makes sense. And I know you've been watching the Aussie dollar. What's going on in there? I haven't watched it lately.
It's you know, it's been weaker, but this past week it had a little bit of a bounce. I don't know if it quite completed to the downside. It has a rising target in the right around 72.7 is where we're looking for, you know, a completion of the downside. So I'd be a buyer in the high 72s or the low 73s, and then I think we get a pretty good rally. The commercials have been flipping their positions back and forth. They're now long. So I think, you know, it's a good bet on the long side. You know, soon. I don't think right here. I would see, like to see, like I said, a little bit lower, high 72s. High 72s, low 73s.
No, that's fine. And then, of course, you know, one of the things we always talk about is gold and silver. And gold put on a nice little show last weekend, came, you know, raging off of that like 1220, 1225 support and really ran them up a little bit. And, you know, silver was not quite as strong, but strong. What's your take of those markets now?
Well, what's really interesting about gold and silver is the commercial positioning has really gotten bullish historically. You know, the commercials almost always hold a short position in the precious metals. Silver, the commercial positioning hasn't. I mean, they're still net short, but that net short position is the smallest it's been in almost a year and a half. So. You know, we've been bullish on silver, a little bit more cautious on gold, but they both really look like they should be, you know, short term pushing to the upside based on their commercial positioning. I do have some current concerns about it though. We'll probably find out in the next EOT report whether or not the commercials intend to, you know, smack gold back down, because it has reached its, you know, 50 and 200 day moving average. And when that happens, you tend to have these technical traders pile in on the long side. And if, you know, the commercials want to fight it, we'll see it right above, you know, the 200 day moving average. So basically we're long silver. We're going to stay long. We have a goal. We're actually shorting gold as a hedge, but we would only use it as, we'd only be short as a hedge. I'm pretty constructive on both metals. Gold has not hit our final target low, so eventually this has to reverse and we'll see a lower level hit, but for right now both metals I think look okay.
Then those are the words according to Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. Matt, thanks so much, always great to have you on.
So it's great to be here. Thanks, Todd.
This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz, and we're going to stop by here for a break. But in the meantime, make sure you go to libertytalk.fm so you can get Matt every week and download the show as well as The Bubba Show every single day. And, of course, there is The Sporting Edge on the weekends. We'll be back after the break with more of The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz coming right back after the break. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz. Show Todd Bubba Horwitz with the Jane King Hour. Jane King, Lila Mix Media, the Kitchen Report. What's up, Jane King?
Just, you know, 90 degrees in New York in May. So we're having water gun fights at the park, and you know, why not?
And it's 35 in Chicago. There you have the weather. The weather report.
And it's 4 feet of snow in Colorado, so crazy.
It is amazing. So I guess the big question first was what was your reaction to the nonsense out of the White House on Tuesday? What did you have any feel of that? Any opinion?
Let's see. So Tuesday. So I'm trying to get everything. So this was the Comey firing that happened Tuesday, right?
The Comey rumor that that Trump fired him because he had an illegal dealing with Russia. You know, the usual nonsense.
Right. Okay. So this, I mean, honestly, like the days were all melt. There was like 3 days there where there was like mass hysteria. Hysteria going on with all this stuff. Well, you know how I think that there's been a lot of hysterical stuff going on. I mean, this hyperbole about Watergate and impeachment. I mean, it's just over the top. And I think, you know, there should be an investigation. Sounds like there's going to be one. I mean, I hope it's fair. I hope it looks at everything. It's bipartisan. It's thorough. And because we can't have other countries manipulating and influencing our elections. But everybody just needs to chill out and calm down a little bit. I mean, we're like a bunch of kids overreacting to stuff. And it's just, it's not good. I mean, we're like kindergartners. It reminds me a lot of my kids' elementary class.
It certainly does. Not. I mean, obviously, this is the most coverage I've ever seen in a president in my lifetime. Do you find it, do you like it? Do you find it entertaining? Is it something that we should continue to do? What are your thoughts of that?
The most coverage?
I mean, yeah. every day you see, like if you watch Fox, every day they show the press conference with Spicer. You know, every movie, if he goes to the bathroom, they show him.
Huge ratings. I mean, it's like bigger than almost anything else on television besides the Super Bowl. No, I actually think it's good. Like, you know, in the grand scheme, in the macrocosm, I think this is a good thing. I remember in the 90s, like, I felt like people were very complacent about politics. You know, the voter turnouts were low. People didn't really understand the issues. They thought everything was just going to be fine. They didn't really need to think about it too much, and everybody's going to take care of us. And I remember complaining, you know, vocally about it then. So I think this is good. I mean, people can get a little nuts. You know, the guy who cuts my hair is from Belgium, and he says that, you know, Trump is on the cover of their newspaper, like, every day. I mean, it's just huge, like, globally. The Twitter thing is, the concept of it is good. I like the fact that he just kind of shares his thoughts on Twitter. He gets himself into trouble. He probably should stop for a couple of minutes before he tweets. I mean, he is the president of the United States, after all. And think about what he's saying, but the concept of being, you know, directly communicating with people, I think is great. And I like that he's open. I like he does lots of interviews. And I like the fact that the press conferences have local news and websites and things like that in them. So I think it's great.
Do you think that now he's talking about, you know, like getting rid of the daily press conference and having actually doing it himself and getting rid of Spicer? Do you like that idea, or what do you think of that?
Well, I do think he's probably his own best advocate. Sean Spicer has the toughest job in the world, I think. I mean, so hard. I mean, and he's got to, you know, answer to all these things, and of course, he's got a hostile press. I mean, I think, you know, the daily briefings are okay, but I think if the president would come and do, you know, not a daily thing, but, you know, maybe biweekly, something like that, then he could take on some of those tough questions that I think Sean Spicer has trouble sometimes answering because he's not a mind reader and things change very quickly. I think as much as, you know, they can communicate with the public, I think he's at his best then when he communicates his own thoughts.
Oh, I think he's, listen, I think he's one of the best ever that's in front, you know, impromptu with no teleprompter. I mean, he's really good.
Yeah.
I think Spicer does a great job. It's a very tough job when at least 50% of the audience has got hatred in their eyes and looking to come after
stop. Just think about his, I mean, he wakes up every day and faces that. I mean, it's, you know, it's like, it's just relentless. And he says one little thing, which is, you know, a misspeak, which we all do. And he's made fun of on the night shows, and he's made fun of on the internet and on the morning shows. And it's a really, really hard job. So I feel for him.
No, it is tough. And speaking of a tough job, you know, we've talked about this a couple of times, but I'm going to spend a couple more minutes on it today. You know, your willingness and wanting to educate, you know, children and my willingness to want to educate older children, you know, where do you stand with that? And do you think this is ever going to become something that is really more focused on by the school systems and all the, you know, real financial literacy?
Well, I hope so. I actually went to a cocktail party in New York. Some Wall Street people have come up with this program called FiCycle. It's still kind of in the experimental stages. But they're going into schools, and some of them very poor schools in New York City, like in Bronx and Brooklyn, that I think the household income is less than $20,000, and teaching them about money in like a kind of an interactive way. And they said, you know, the kids are showing tremendous progress. I mean, they're learning about interest and credit cards and figuring out, you know, investments and things like that. It replaces their math course for like their junior and senior year. And, you know, they want to expand it and grow it. And I thought that was a great program. So it sounds like these types of education, financial education things are going to have to come from the outside, from people like you and me and this group that, you know, I met with last week, because I don't really see the school taking this on much on their own.
And, you know what I have found in my views is you know, the biggest people that stand in the way of instituting these newer programs?
The schools.
The teachers. The teachers don't want to teach it because it's something out of the ordinary, and they may not understand it themselves that well, which is obviously goes back to what you and I are trying to do, is to get them to understand it from the beginning. But that's what I have found is to be one of the bigger problems, is that the teachers don't want to put it in because they don't want to get caught not knowing something. And I go, well, but I'm willing to help you. We'll get you done, but and we'll do seminars. We'll help you learn it. But that, I think, is one of the bigger problems with trying to push things ahead, because the people that are supposed to teach it don't want to teach it.
Yeah, no, I think that's true. And in fact, there's a school here in New York where like one teacher doesn't just teach all day. People go to different, like kind of like, but it's elementary school. But kind of like how you do in high school and college, you go to the specialists in those fields. And I think, you know, that's kind of an interesting thing to do, is like actually learn from somebody who really knows the subject matter, who can obviously enjoys it and can teach it with passion. I mean, somebody who really is passionate about a subject can make it just come alive. And if they're bored with it or don't understand it, that's going to be imparted to the students. So no, I think it's, you know, I think it's a great idea. But I mean, you know, I think our whole education system kind of needs to be shaken up a little bit. I mean, kind of like what we're seeing in Washington, it needs a disruption.
You got to drain the swamp. So who's your next big guest besides me on your, you know, podcast?
Yeah, I'm so waiting when you come to New York. We're going to co-host one together. Well, we're going to be focusing on a couple of financial advisory companies for the next two podcasts, actually. So one's like more of a robo-advisor, and they're just going to be talking about just, you know, what do, you know, kids need to know. What are robo-advisors? They actually can perform a good role in financial education. And then another guest, Kevin Asupka, he's the head of an independent financial advisory group. And he and I, you know, like so many of these things, got into a discussion about what's needed. And he's going to talk about just what he sees in families and how much of it, the basic questions he gets. Should I lease? Should I buy a car? Should I, you know, just the basic stuff. So he's going to be a real interesting guy to have on. So that's the next two. That should take us through the end of June.
And Jane King, you are the best. Jane King, Lila McShmee, the Continuing Report. Thank you so much. It's always great to have you on.
Thank you so much, Todd.
That was our friend Jane King, Lila McShmee, and the Continuing Report. And of course, we always love having her on. She's brings a great dynamic to the Bubba Show. But of course, what you have to remember is to go to BubbaTrading.com and check out Bubba's Bottom Line, my podcast, and you get to see me with my venom on, and also talk about some of the things that I think that are affect everybody. In the meantime, also go to LibertyTalk.fm, and you can download the Bubba Show every single day, as well as the Sporting Edge on the weekends. And make sure that you check out some of the programs that we have, because again, look, I'm not selling them. I'm just telling you that there's going to be things that need to be done, and you're going to want to learn how to adjust your portfolio. And those are things that I believe that are important. But for today, this is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. I hope everybody has a great day. I appreciate you all being here. We'll see you back here tomorrow at the same time, same station. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Have a great day, everybody. We'll see you later.
Let this old world just spin around.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.